Thanks for pressing play. Legends and Losers is sponsored by Oracle NetSuite. To turbocharge your growth, check out netsuite.com/legends. On this episode, we have the amazing Joe and Bix Bixon, and we're going to do a series of smaller episodes with them where we kind of break down a topic and kind of have at it. And in future episodes, Joe, Bix, and I will take your questions. So if you have questions for us that you want to hear about or that you want us to respond to, send email to blackhole@legendsandlosers.com, and we'll do our best to answer your questions on the podcast. On this episode, to get us started, Joe and Bix introduced the concept of future hacking. It's, I think, a revolutionary concept in business. It's what they specialize in, and will make you think differently about how to create the future that you want in your life and your business.
Hello, my legendary friends. This is Legends and Losers, the show for people who like to eavesdrop on killer dialogues, brilliant rants, and crazy diversions, straight up with a business twist. Hosted by Christopher Lockhead, former three-time CMO and co-author of Play Bigger, who has one of the most strategic minds in marketing, but could also hide his own Easter eggs. And now, strap yourselves in. It's time for Legends and Losers.
All right, all right, all right. Hey ho, let's go. Hello, my legendary friends. Welcome to this extra special, short, awesome episode of Legends and Losers. Bix Bixon is a mentor of mine, a dear friend of mine. His son Joe has become a friend of mine, and I love working with these guys. I love talking with these guys. I love learning with these guys. And I'm going to make an outrageous statement. I think that Bix and Joe are two of the most important thinkers in business. And as a result, I've asked the two of them to come on a periodic basis, do a quickie episode with us where we unpack a particular topic that that could make a giant difference in your business. And so to get the party started, Joe and Bix are going to lead us in a conversation about what it is to actually hack the future that you want. For more information on them, go to legendsandlosers.com and check out the show notes on this episode. They have amazing backgrounds, and you can also find them on the internet at bixon2.com. Now, here they are on Future Hacking, Joe and Bix Bixon. So, Joe and Bix, maybe open up for me. Tell me about what is future hacking exactly?
Well, you know, I'm a millennial, 27 years old. So, of course,
okay, we love millennials around here.
Yeah,
some more than others, but you know,
that's
true for anybody.
That's actually unique because a lot of millennials get a bad rap these days.
I like to give them a bad rap from time to time, but yeah. The truth is, I know lots of legendary millennials.
Okay, well, me as well. So. But I often am the representative millennial in much of our work. So people ask me what it's like to be a millennial. And one of the things that millennials have coined is the term hacking. I think it's the emergence of the computer revolution, because a hack is an effort to get inside the guts of a piece of digital gear. And when you hack a piece of digital gear, the intent is to use it for a different purpose than it was originally designed for. But what we call a future hack is to get inside your guts or the guts of your organization and develop the ability to create and fulfill the future of your choosing. So that's what we call future hacking. And what it really is a unique design and body of knowledge for individuals and organizations to perform in extraordinary ways. You know, we've studied performance, and we continue to create ways for people to break out of acting inside someone else's thinking. So that's the idea, is can we create ways to break out both of ourselves and of our organizations? And we've called that process, or that idea, future hacking.
Now, it seems to me that, and I don't want to blow sunshine at you, but if you think about executives, business people, in a lot of ways, we get paid to produce the intended future, right? So if you talk to a CEO, by way of example, who reports to a board, her job is there's some kind of a plan that gets agreed to, and her job is to make that plan happen, right? And that there's a set of outcomes at some point in the future that we want to have happen. And even those of us as individuals, maybe it's something simple like you want to lose 5 pounds. Well, that's a future that you want to have happen. Or maybe you want to go visit your mother in Canada. And that's a future that you want to have happen. And there's a bunch of stuff you got to make. You got to get yourself aligned with. You got to go do some things along the way. You got to produce that to get to that future outcome. And so I find it's a very interesting idea that you're going to hack this future. And I've heard you guys talk about this, so I'm wondering if you could maybe go here with me, which is, how's a future hack different from just setting a goal?
Well, before we had our current dog, which is a medium-sized to small white dog, we had a border collie, and we had a big yard, and the border collie's name is Bear. And one of the things that Bear did in the yard was every time an airplane flew over, Bear would run around in circles barking at the airplane. And he was convinced that it worked, because no airplanes ever landed in our backyard.
Well, and they went away shortly after he barked at them, right?
So when we walk into an organization, we see a lot of people running around in circles barking and convinced that it's working, right? So one of the things that we consider is the status quo is not worth preserving. And I think that almost every executive got into their chair, his or her chair, knowing that the status quo is not worth preserving. The reason they got in that chair is to make something happen that wasn't going to already happen. People don't get paid for what's already going to happen. What's already going to happen is going to happen. And you're not there to have that happen. You're there to have something happen that's not going to happen. And so then we get into this whole conversation about performance. And the first thing we always see is at the end of every athletic game, the sports reporter puts the microphone in front of the athlete's face and said, "How did you do it? What happened?" And the athlete says, "Well, we were in the zone. You know, the things really worked out well. Time slowed down. You know, we did this, we did that." And I listen to him and I go, "Oh my gosh, that was incredible." And then I sit there and I listen to, okay, I want to have that kind of performance. So I need to be in the zone, needs to be incredible. You know, things really worked out. You know, all those conversations. And I am struck by that our explanation of performance is paltry. It's dismal. It's meager. It doesn't leave us with what we call access, direct access, getting our hands on the dials and controls of performance, the dials and controls of creating the future.
And so that begs the question, of course, what are the dials and controls of performance and therefore creating the future that we want?
Yeah, the first thing you got to have is access. And almost every explanation leaves us with an explanation, leaves us like reading a book about it, leaves us with a description. It doesn't leave us with direct access. And so we're asking people to consider that what's happening in an organization, what we can get our hands on, are all the conversations that you're having as an executive, your team is having with each other, your team is having with the other people in this organization, your team is having about what's going on in the marketplace, and almost most importantly, the conversation you're having with yourself. And why we ask people to consider that, it's not theoretical. It's not abstract. You can listen to the conversations that are happening in an organization. You can listen to the conversations you're having, and you can ask yourself, will these conversations give us the future we're committed to? Now, the great thing about organizations is we know that years ago, these large animals that roamed the earth went out of existence. Why did they go out of existence? Well, the two main theories are the food changed, they weren't able to find the food they needed to continue, or the weather changed. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what theory you prescribe to. What we know is whatever information they had was insufficient to continue to adapt to the changing circumstances. Every living cell, every living organism, that information is called DNA. DNA is a set of instructions, a set of rules that tells every living cell what it can and cannot do. We're asking you to consider that your organization, every organization, has DNA, and that DNA lives in conversations. Why do we ask you to consider that? It's not theoretical. And the great thing about organizations is they are, not genetically encoded. They act like they are. They act like this is the circumstances we got. This is the best we can do, right? This is a competition. This is the marketplace. This is my team. This is myself. And everybody's sitting there convincing each other, this is the way it is. So the first thing we do is intervene and allow people to see that that way that everybody's saying it is lives in conversations which are not genetically encoded.
Bix, that's the Bix I know and love right there. I'm reminded of that great quote that I love so much by Richard Bach, who says, argue for your limitations, and sure enough, they're yours.
Yes.
And of course, you guys do this all the time. I don't. But in my work experience, I have had many work experiences where there seems to be a commitment to arguing for the limitations of the present.
Yes.
And so if I tie it back to Joe's definition of future hacking, let me see if I get this thought process right. Future hacking is about getting clear about what it is we're going to, the outcome that we want in the future, and then getting access and hacking at it to maybe look at things from a different perspective, the way a hack is often using something in the way that it wasn't necessarily intended, if I followed that thread right. And then the next step is, by doing that, I get access. I get access to thinking, ways of being that were maybe different. And then that access, what I'm really accessing, however, are these conversations about who we are and who we're not. And then I ask myself the question, are we having the right conversations to produce the future that we want? Did I follow that here, gentlemen?
Yeah, well, a lot of times when we come into a company, I think you nailed it, first of all. And second of all, a lot of the times when we come into a company, people say, oh, I see, you're the alignment guys. Or we've been called, after somebody has recommended us, and they said, oh, you guys do that alignment thing. We want that. So the way we talk about the future, you said, okay, we got to get clear about the future, is for the most part, the future lives for people as a description or as an explanation. It lives as a concept. And what we want to do is break them out of that way of thinking. Because for the most part, the past is in the future for most companies and most people. So what people first have to do before they can really go for it. A lot of the times when we come in, people say, okay, I get it. Let's just create, let's just go for it. Okay, we want to get on with it. But we know that if we get on with it with the same ideas, with the same approaches that we've come into the room with, the
bear's going to be walking, running around the yard barking.
So we got to figure out how to tame our inner barking bear.
Well, you gotta see the inner barking bear. You gotta see that you're doing that, and that is a lot of the upfront work. Is people don't see that they're stuck.
You know, and the thing that keeps us stuck, so I tie it in a nice bow for myself, is that I'm having the same conversation that I've always had, and if I have the same conversation I've always had applied to the future, I'm going to get the same result that I always had.
Yeah, and the danger these days is they add the new tools and technologies to that conversation, and we call putting the new tools in the old box. So what Joe's referring to, until people can see that they are stuck, it's not bad. It's not even wrong. It's human. But we're so concerned about, wait a second, I'm the senior CEO of this global brand that has had tremendous growth and earnings throughout these years, right? But those people are the ones that usually know, wait a second, the way I got here was I continually challenged my own thinking. I continually was willing to challenge my team's thinking. I was continually willing to challenge the marketplace. And I need that kind of partnership. I need that kind of conversation in my company so that we continue to challenge ourselves every moment, so that we can continue to begin to think about and create the future.
I love it. Joe Bixon, Bix Bixon, thank you so much.
Thank you, Christopher.
Whew. There they are. If you know somebody who would love this episode, why not share it with them right now? We appreciate your shares very much. We appreciate you writing reviews of Legends and Losers, writing reviews of Niche Down and Play Bigger on Amazon. That makes all of that makes a giant difference. Thanks so much for tuning into this short episode with Joe and Bix Bixon. And deep apologies to Marcus Rust, CEO of Roseacre Farms. Sorry, Marcus, we just ran out of time for you.